Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
I'm telling you, I've never been lost for words, man. Your journey did this to me intentionally.
Wow, this is fantastic. You know, your pastor is a man of excellence and a man who loves beautiful things. And it's one of the first things that I picked up in my association with him. In every little space, he would always do something remarkable. You know, I happened to be in the office, and I was like, this thing, if you are told an architect you can put an office, and you tell that, no, it's not possible. It's an office and everything nice you can imagine there. And as I stand here, I just can't believe what he's done with this space, because it was not planned to be like this at all. And I covet that creative grace. Pastor Johnny, I celebrate you. You are a wonderful man. I celebrate your wonderful wife who is not here with us. I celebrate all these wonderful pastors who are assisting Pastor Mills, all the pastoral team. Thank you so much for all that you do. The greatness of a man is always a measure of the quality of help that he receives. And you can see that there is quality help in this place. Let's celebrate great helpers. I celebrate all the elders and council leaders in the church who offer Pastor Johnny lots and lots of good counsel and good advice. Thank you for standing with him. Thank you for being there when it mattered most. You will never be forgotten. You will never be forgotten. You know, there are people you will never forget. And there are people who are there with you when you are in your darkest place. Because nobody likes to associate with misfortune and with darkness. You know, so when people are there in the midst of that misfortune, you never forget them. And I thank you all so much, Mr. Awotwe, my senior Motowner, Dr. Gideon, your wonderful wife. You are wonderful people. Like, come here, I see you all the time without fail. Lovely, lovely, lovely people. Thank you for being there for Bishop Johnny. You know, Bishop made a statement. He said, I am passionate about the work of God. And he said, I'm passionate about God's servant. You know me, when I'm your friend and you are correct, whoever fights you is in trouble. There are fights that I have fought. He learned about it later. I have beaten enemies he didn't know existed. That is just my nature. I grew up at Osuari. Kofi Ubana. Yes, however. Jikunima Jibuyebiona. Meanwhile, you know that one punch you will be down, but you give it a shot. Hallelujah. So, Bishop, thank you for being who you are. And we thank Almighty God for what He has done. For what He has begun to do is beautiful. And I know that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God is about to do. I thank you. You're a wonderful instrumentalist. The sound is nice. You know, nice sound is the one that you feel within you, but it doesn't disturb your eardrum. That's the kind of Bishop Johnny sound. That's what I try to do in our church. So we are in a residential area with a lot of neighbors. Nobody has come to complain before. One man said, you close midweek service too early. But when we come, we use the singing to relax. Celebrate you guys. Trula, you guys, your music, fantastic. My son said, wow, I'm blown away. So I'm here with my son. All of you are seeing how he's following me around. One day when he's a pastor in the church, don't say we're giving the church to our children. Some people, their children were riff-raffs misbehaving. Then they forcefully converted them, ordained them, consecrated them, and giving the church. Watch him. He's been born again for a long time. is paying his due. Celebrate with me. My son Kwamna, thank you for always coming with me and being around. Let us share a quick word of prayer. Gracious Father, thank you. We can never finish saying thank you. Thank you for the call on our lives. It's irrevocable. It's without repentance. Thank you for the mercy you have shown us. It's undeserving. Thank you for the grace you've extended to us. It is emphatic that you love us. Thank you for your love, because we need all eternity to comprehend it. We have come not to hear a man, but to company with you. Speak to us. Warm our hearts. Make us deeper lovers of you. And make us willful obeyers of your word. And may we be blessed even as we do so. Father, I yield my members to you, O God. Channel your voice, your instruction, even to your children through me. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name. Let the church say aloud, amen. Please be seated in the presence of God. Wow. The church has grown nicely. More human beings are here. Make a determination to make this place your church. You understand? Yeah. Because I believe that you are in a very, very good church. All the things I always tell people when I'm talking about Bishop John is that I said, even when he makes a mistake, it will be sincere. You know how Jesus described Nathanael? He said, this is a true Jew in whom there is no guile. You know, there are not many people today you can speak of and speak about confidently, because every time, beyond what you see, there's another person behind the veil that you don't see. But in my association with Bishop Johnny, all I've seen is just this good man. I mean, the kind of things he has been through. We were squeezed small. We were squealing like pigs that were going to the slaughter. His neck is in the guillotine. And he's smiling and giving you a high five. Till they show you the picture. Right? Hey, the guy is about to be headed. How come he's smiling? You know, so he's a good man. And Bishop, thank you for being a good example. Thank you for being a good example. You know, wisdom is always justified. So like Bishop said, I just want to share a few thoughts with you. I think the last time I came, I preached. So there was a lot of fire. Today I'm going to try to teach. I'm going to try to be like your pastor. You know, I had to learn to teach the word some time ago, because I realized that people are encouraged, but they were not growing. Preaching is like going to a restaurant to eat, or going to buy pizza or KFC. My teaching is like your mother's food. Yeah. I learned to eat custard. I tell you, it was a very difficult experience. And Osu boy, it was not a small encounter at all. I learned to eat baked beans. Where we come from, these things are not staples. You understand? So, I'm going to get some teaching. Turn your Bibles into 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 8 to 10. And you have New King James, or just King James is what you have? Oh, wow. What a versatile church. Before I could ask, pew, you are like God. Who is controlling the thing? So before they asked, I'd release the answer. Clap for the man at the back. Hey, technical people, they suffer. They are only recognizing something goes wrong. So who is pulling the sound? But throughout the service, nobody remembers them. It is well. We love you, eh? But we promise to keep chastising you. We can't stop. It's just our nature. Forgive us. 2 Kings 4, 8 to 10. Now, it happened one day. I'm sharing with you. See a need, meet a need. Hallelujah. See a need, meet a need. I trust that it will be a blessing to you. Now, it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was that as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And verse number 9 says, and he said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. The old King James will tell you, the King James version will tell you, I perceive. The meaning of that word perceive is to know by experience. to know by paying attention to something and by observing. Hallelujah. That's why I said your pastor is a man of excellence. It is based on an observation. It's not a revelation I had. It was not an inspiration, but it's by observing. You understand? When you observe the straightness of the carpet, you see that it's a man of excellence. You understand? So it's observation. When you see the way the chairs have been arranged in proper array, you don't see wine and other colors mixed as if you are doing fronton from ensemble, but you can see orderliness. That is a sign. So that's what I'm talking about. Hello? All right. So she perceived it. All right. Now, verse number 10. Based on her perception, she began to do certain things. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Hallelujah. So this story followed after Elisha had ministered to one young prophet who had died, and his wife and two children were going to be taken into slavery and servitude because he was in debt. Right. And he had now met this woman. He was just passing through the town. And the Bible says that this woman will invite Elisha to come and eat. May you invite your pastor to come and eat. Hey, do you know what we like? I don't know whether they know what we like to eat. I realize when you are getting richer, then the doctors tell you not to eat what you like again. So try and then stay healthy so I can eat what you like for a long time. You understand? Right. Good. So this woman invited Elisha in to eat. And every time Elisha passed through, he would eat. Then this woman noticed that Elisha lives quite far from Shunem. And making the journey after eating will be quite tedious. So let's make some provision. Let him be able to rest and pass the night. Then when he's well rested and he wants to continue on his journey, he can do that. Anytime he's transiting, he can always come, sleep over, relax and all that. So let's make a room, she told her husband. And the room they made came at a great cost. I don't know if you have any idea about construction, but even today we have the technology to build a story building. It's not a small encounter. The depths of foundation you need to dig, the quantum of concrete you need, iron rods, all that. And so in that day, when they didn't have any of this technology, you can imagine the great cost at which building an upstairs room came to this woman and her husband. Nonetheless, they did it. They put in a place where the prophet could have his privacy and enjoy, and they put a bed in it. I don't know how many of us sleep on a bed. You'll be very surprised. Many Ghanaians don't have a bed. They have something they lie on, but not a bed. You may have a mattress, but not a bed. I've seen people who have mattresses, but they don't have a bed. Even after 4,000 years, some don't have beds. So for this man to be given a bed meant that she brought some comfort into the life of the man of God. And then there was a table. How many of you have a table in your bedroom? Not many have a study table. When you want to read, you have to read on your bed. But there was a table provided for Elisha. And a chair provided for Elisha. And you will call a reading lamp or a bedside lamp was provided. I mean, if you are looking at even the furnishing in his room by today's standards, it's luxury. So the woman really did far and above to ensure the comfort of the prophet. And it was because she had made an observation that this man is traveling, he will be hungry. This man may be tired. You see, she knew the man was going afar and knew where the man was resting, because when her son died, she went on horseback at top speed to go and meet Elijah. Those days, the fastest means of transport was horseback. So you can imagine to traverse and make a journey on horseback tells you that the person you are going to meet is at a distance. So she could see that there was so much distance Elisha had to undertake. And so let's cut back. Let's get him some rest in between his starting point and his final destination. Let's make our home the resting point. Let us give him something to eat. And mind you, at no point did Elisha ask for any of these things. The Bible says that she perceived that this man is an anointed man. This man is a holy prophet of God. So she saw through who the person was. That's the first thing that she was able to see. The second thing is that without Elisha asking, she saw needs that had to be met. And she itemized the needs. There was a need for food. There was a need for a room. There was a need for the room to have a bed, the room to have a table, to have a chair, to have a lamp. You have walked with God all these years. What have you come to know by experience? What have you perceived ever since you became born again? I became born again on the second day of January 1992, around 10:30 a.m. at Biden Power Hall, High Street. The preacher was called Neves Mumba. Yeah, he was in ICGC. Wow. And the message was titled, Jesus is the Answer. I will never forget. Because I had gone for many altar calls, but that was the grand finale. And after that day, the boy of God has never looked back. It has been 32 years of the goodness of God. But what have you perceived after working with Jesus all these years? I'm going to give us some areas of need that I believe that we can identify and rise up and begin to meet those needs. My message is very short, so pay close attention. I'm 10 minutes into the message. In another 20 or so minutes, I'll be finished. I told Bishop nowadays, I don't preach for long. Yeah. Well, you know people, you don't talk plenty. There are people I've spoken to for a long time, they didn't change. Some to hello and they are transformed. Trust the Holy Spirit to do his work. Today I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Hallelujah. The first thing I want us to see a need in and meet is there is a need with God and in God. Please, I know theologically it may sound inappropriate because I'm not doing theology here. God does not need anything to be God. God is transcendent. He exists out of time. God is absolutely omnipotent and there is nothing lacking. Before he created the universe and created time and everything, he was God all by himself. Without all these things, he will continue to be God with or without us existing here. He reigns supreme as God. But I use need here in the sense that there are things that God expects of us and he has charged us to do. And in all of his creation, we are the ones he has tasked and given that assignment to do. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm about to talk about, it's not a need that God needs for him to be complete, but it's a need in the sense that God will have us and us alone to meet it as his church and as his people. The first thing is that God needs us to fellowship with him. There are many prayer warriors. There are few fellowshippers, especially in Africa. Give me, give me, give me. 99% of our prayers are given. If I want you to see any prayer platform online gathering numbers, it's because needs are being supplied. People's cars, people's marriages, people, none of these things are bad in and of themselves, but it's a betrayal of our hearts. Can you imagine that every time I see Bishop Johnny, my only motivation is that he'll give me $500? I mean, can you imagine how very few times you would even want to see me? Because my presence in his life will always represent a depletion of his resources. And when he created Adam and Eve, there was no prayer request. Mind you, Adam had no mother-in-law, no sisters-in-law. Eve had nothing to go and shop for and buy. There was nothing that they could ask for. When they came into the garden in the cool of the day, what were they talking about? That is the essence. You see, anytime you want to understand anything in the Bible, just go back to Genesis 1. Because as Adam and Eve were in the garden and on earth, that is how he would have us to be. That's why he comes to save us. So the whole idea is to bring us back into Garden of Eden whilst we are here and to heaven for all eternity when this place is over and done. That's the two steps. So when you get that, that's why in the garden, Adam and Eve were not given work to do. They were given oversight to act. They only began to work when they sinned. That is why David tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you work because he has asked you to, then it will be fruitful. When you work as a result of the curse, you will gather thorns and thistles. That's for another day. You understand? God wants us to fellowship with him. Wake up in the morning. Let me tell you, when you have just 5 minutes to leave the house, between asking God for something, just fellowshipping and worshiping Him. Go for worship. But that is what you were made for. We pray. The essence of what He wants from us is to fellowship. Wake up and seek His face. Me soriana ahima o namato aye inyo ebiseradi uneminyo eradi uneminyo me soriana. Mahimao Namato Aye. When was the last time you worshiped God outside of congregational worship? Get intimate with Him. Connect with Him. Seek Him. As the deer panted for the water brooks, so my soul longs. So my soul longs. God, that's what we were made for. God loves it. God requires it. Can you imagine? Angels are worshiping Him. Myriads and myriads of angels who don't need these instruments. It's right within them. More perfect worship, but He delights in ours. He wants ours. He longs for ours. It doesn't need to be complete, but that is why He made you. Go read Revelation chapter 4. It said, for His pleasure, He created all things. And for that pleasure, all those things exist and they were made. It is for His pleasure. God wants to enjoy you. Let God enjoy you. The other need God has of us is that we should go and preach the gospel. We should go and preach the gospel. You see, angels cannot preach the gospel because they've not fallen in our kind of sin to be redeemed by the kind of redemption we have received. We are called witnesses for a reason in Acts 1:8. You know who is a witness? A witness stands in a box and swears an oath to speak the truth based on what he has seen. He has observed, what he has experienced, what he has encountered. That is why only us can witness in all of God's creation. God, it is us who sinned. It is us who lost Him. It is us who fell from grace. It is us for whose sake He came from heaven to come the form of a human being. Died a painful death. But the penalty that should be exacted on you and I was paid for by Him. And the only ones who are beneficiaries of such. Therefore, it is us who can stand in the witness box under oath and say that even if you take my life, this is my truth. Once I was lost, by grace He saved. Angels can do it. They can facilitate the process. An angel spoke to Philip and said, go to this road and Enoch is coming. Meet him by noon. And he got there, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, go near and overtake his chariot. But who had to do the speaking to the Enoch? It had to be Philip who had been saved by God. God is waiting for a Philip this morning. Listen to me. We have a duty. There is a call. Necessity is laid on you and I. And nobody in this universe can and will be able to stand up to this task unless we rise up and do it. And every one of us have been given a sphere of influence. There's a place you have influence. How I wish I could preach Matthew 28:19-20 to you. When Jesus says, go! Go is a command. It means that when I ask you to go, you can't be where you are. You must change environment. You must change geographical location. It's nice for us to have a beautiful church service like this. But for this command to be obeyed, you must leave this setting. You must move from our familiar environment. Go. Go also means as you go carrying. As I told my wife, I'm going to Bishop Johnny's church. I came carrying my iPad. I came carrying a message in my spirit. Nobody goes empty-handed. We go with a message. So he said, when you go, say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand. There is something that we have to say to the people. What does it mean also to go? To go is that I'm asking you, as you are going about your daily life, your everyday routine, as you are going to school, as you are going to the salon, as you are in the trotro going to work, as you are in the boat and the Uber, every sphere of influence you have, as you are going, as you are in motion in your everyday life, go! Go. It's not only Saturday outreach. It's when we are going. It's when we are going. You make time to read a little bit about church history. You'll be shocked that the church spread in this first century mainly by the members who were involved in trade. More than even the apostles. Oh, yeah! So as they go trading from one place to another, they share the gospel. Because Jesus said, go, as you are going about selling some spices and some perfumes and some flour, and you are selling some fish, and you are fishing by the coastline, as you go, as the accountant goes, as the lawyer goes, as the architect goes, as the seamstress goes, as the hairdresser goes, as the trader in the market goes, if only we had been going. We had been going. We thought going means a crusade. There are lights. Some choreography. Them. So Johnny speak and holds his hand up. You there. This is the final call. That's where you're going. As we are going about parenting our children. Sharing the gospel. Going about talking to our Manchester. About Chelsea. About Liverpool. Did you see that wonderful goal? Superb kick. Have a higher goal. Make it. Then Udi is shame. He used to have a president in Ghana. Everywhere he went with the gospel. And his opponents, including Christians, said he has turned the seat of government to a prayer meeting. Even they didn't understand. Go. Go. They've got to go. Better go. But there's a place you can go that I cannot. Immigration man. I don't know what will bring me to immigration office. That's why he put you there. Go. And you are in green. I'm in black. Imagine, who are you looking for? I don't know what will ever take me to the tomato seller's place. Go there every other Saturday. Mommy, I've been buying for you for a while now, but I don't know. There's something you can buy, but it is free. Hey, what is that? Oh, it's free. You won't pay anything. You need to be called economy. I'm telling you. For the free gift of God is Christ Jesus. All you need to do is believe. As you go! Oh, we've got to go. Oh, we've got to go. May there be an army that is marching forward in every direction. Going in every direction. Maybe a student, you've got to go. I can't come into that dormitory block. They'll ask me, what am I looking for? I can't come into that classroom, but that is why you are in that classroom. Don't disappoint. He put you there for a reason. So I want you to know that it will be very difficult for some of these young guys. Like my son is going to evangelize to someone your age. But from I don't know how. It's a place when you step. Influence alone. This man has quit his SUV. Smelling nice. When he opens his door, the fragrance coming. They tell you, sit inside, I'm taking you to church. You tell that, should I bow first or we should go like that? Because you have a place of influence. You gotta go. Somehow, in every way possible, every one of us can do something. My dear nurse, you've gotta go. You've gotta go. To take somebody's temperature. Your temperature is so high, but it's a place hotter than your body. It's called hell. You can avoid it. You can avoid it. There we go. Perhaps you are wondering, what is the gospel? How do I preach the gospel? I can tell you the gospel in just 2 minutes. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. You see, listen, that's the baseline. You will not get anybody who will argue with you that they have not sinned. All of us have sinned. They are falling short. Let a person understand that when you work, you get paid. Sin is a work of the flesh. When you work, you get paid. The wages, the payment of sin is death. That death is that you will die and be separated from God. That is not. He has a better plan for you. It's eternal life. How do you get that eternal life? Because you can't pay for yourself. In Romans 5:8. Once you are still even in this sin, he paid the price. He sent Jesus to die in your place. What do I do about it? If only you can believe in your heart and confess this belief that you are sorry for your sins and you accept the sacrifice of Christ, then today, not tomorrow, not next week, right now you can be saved. If you don't mind, I can pray with you because Romans 10:13 says, anyone that shall call upon the name of the Lord, we are going to do that now. Romans 3:26, 23, 5, 8, and 10. Now that you are saved, you need to grow in your faith and be established. Romans 10:17 says that your faith will grow when you keep hearing God's word. I'm coming to take you to church. You will be discipled and you will grow. Many of us, we abandon our babies on the word. When I saw Bishop, a snippet, it was there. It said, evangelism is only the beginning. Discipleship is where the journey ends. Don't leave your baby on the wall. Bring people to church. Don't say, me, I believe in God, I don't go to church. You saying? The church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. Show me any part of your body that can exist outside of your body. Just one. For anyone who says, I believe in God, I'm even born again, but I don't want to go to any church. It's not born again. Because the mark of your salvation is that you are engrafted onto the body. I am the vine, and you are the branches. All the time, the branch is connected to the stem. God, that is how fruitfulness is guaranteed. I finished giving you the gospel message. God has a need. Go. Matthew 28:19. He said, go. You have it. Put it there. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go. 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 It's for us to go. He has a need for us to go. He didn't send angels. He has millions and billions of them. I said, you and I must do the going. It is us who are beneficiaries of the salvation. It is us who saw it. John said, the things our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hands have handled, that is what we entrust to you. That you also can have fellowship with the Son as we did have fellowship with him. He was testifying of what he saw, what he heard, what he handled. Hasn't Jesus saved you? Hasn't he loved you? Hasn't he come through for you? And somebody is waiting for you to testify. You don't need to know too much. You don't need to understand ecclesiology and soteriology and pneumatology and all the logics. You just need to understand that you were on your way to hell. Grace found you. Grace found you. Grace found you. If you understand the concept of eternity, you will not allow anyone to slip into eternity. Eternity is a time that has a beginning without any end. Because of our concept of time, we can't grasp what eternity is. Because it's the only thing, once it starts, there is no end. You will not wish your worst enemy that. You will, with a sense of urgency, reach out and save the lost. My dear friends, let us rise as a church. I know the kind of heart Bishop Johnny has. Listen, even when this auditorium is done and it is filled 5 times over, he will still go. Because it is the world we must go to. It's not to fill our churches. We didn't understand these things before. So the church is full. It is working. No, it's not working. It is 8.5 billion people. This place sees 1,000. It sees 1,000. We have even 10 services. That's 10,000. That will not even be able to change election results in Ashamai. That's how worthless our effort is. We've got to go. And we must keep going. And keep going. And keep going till there's nowhere to go. Because the glory of God has covered the earth as the waters cover the sea. Go. Make a determination to go, church. I came to charge you. Make a determination to go. And there's a certain heart God has for people who go. That ask whatsoever you will. Ask. You see, the only time he gives you a blank check is when you have gone. John 15:16, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I called you and ordained you. Listen, the day you said the sinner's prayer and gave your life to Christ was your ordination service. Maybe you're not given a cross. You're not given a certificate. You're not given a mitre to wear, but that was the day you were ordained and drafted into God's army. He said, if you can step out and bear fruit, that will remain the way you have remained. Ask whatever you will. Ask whatever. Ask whatever. He gives you a blank check on the back. You're going. Have you not seen how we have lacked miracles in the church? And yet at every crusade, great miracles happen. You have not asked yourself why? Because he promises to be there to back you up with signs and wonders. When you go, in Mark 16:20, he said, and he went with them, confirming their words with signs and wonders following. When you go, you will prophesy. When you go, you will work miracles. When you go, you will heal the sick. When you go, all the gifts of the Spirit you are looking for will manifest in your life. The gifts are not for sitting. How I wish I had time. But time no day. Time no day. Same preach. If I keep long, you won't come next week. Yeah. Secondly, you must see a need in the church and meet it. I've not seen any young man who loves a girl and doesn't love where the girl stays. Was your property day inside the arena? Years back when I was dating my wife, she was living in Tessa and I was in Adenta. Oh man. I never knew that Adenta to Tessa was so short. My God. I'd gone to uni for 6 years. When you've been in university for 6 years, you know you have a lot of things when you are coming home. I had cargo. I was coming from Kumasi. I stopped at Tessa with all my cargo. So, me do feel say, yeah. Just to go and say hello and continue my journey to the west. Tessa not look like just behind my wall. Because that is where my heart is. The church is his body. The church is where he expresses himself. And when I have the chance to teach you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you understand why the gifts of the Holy Spirit was given to the body. Because Christ walked here And he manifested all the gifts. He's ascended. His body is here. His body will keep acting. So some of his ability to know things supernaturally will be given to some members as word of knowledge. Some of his ability to heal will continue. But the body is still here. That's why there's healing. There's miracles. There's word of wisdom. But they flow within his body. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are extensions of Christ in the earth, even as he has ascended to be at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. There are needs in the church. There are needs in departments. Look at how the choir sang. How many enjoyed it? You should ask all of them when they slept yesterday. Some of them come here late. I think the day you came here, I saw some rehearsal, sound check. People don't sleep for a nice service to happen. Rehearsals, transport in and out, sitting in traffic, being irritated by people's funny driving. Somebody's got to do it. Why do you just sit and warm the pew? Begin to perceive, begin to see a need, begin to see a need, begin to see a need that this carpet can be dirty, but I'm committed that so far as I'm in this church, the carpet here will never change color from what has been installed till thy kingdom come. See a need. See a need. The fence wall is not here. Rubber bags are flying. I will come with my broom. By the time service starts, there will not be one rubber bag airborne. See any? Instead of complaining, I've worn my white right there. As I was coming, some rubber bag has flew into my dress with mud. Ah, what kind of church is this? That thing you were experiencing is to draw your attention to perceive. Instead of being angry that you were sick, we didn't call you, he didn't visit you. That shows that there is a need. There is a lack of calling and looking for in the church. Meet that need. Every time I'm not getting calls, I just start calling people. I'm not getting WhatsApp. I just start sending WhatsApp. See that WhatsApp come back. Your loneliness is a direct proportion of your degree of lack of interaction. Meet a need. Any problem you have ever seen since you came to this church, you have seen it because you are the one called to it. You have seen it because you are the one called to it. I've seen a problem with the sound. We can't hear. Any bang bang is bang bang for us. You think the bang bang must be boosh bang bang? Solve it. I can't complain, Bishop. I don't know about your people doing the sound. No, forget about the people. Maybe you don't know. Maybe they don't know. But you got some $500 you can pay for them to go to some proper sound engineering school. Sort it out so that when you come, you'll be comfortable. Meet a need. Meet a need. We have too many idle people in the church. And few people are carrying the load and our backs are breaking. And instead of gratitude, we are getting more and more facing from the senior pastor. But those who can meet the need have just crossed their legs and waiting to be served some buffet. See a need. You think we keep too long? Say, Bishop, I'm going to volunteer to be your timekeeper. 10 minutes to the end of the sermon, I'll do like this. 5 minutes, I'll do like, people who know that, just do like this on my head. And then 2 minutes more, I just rub my head twice. So, suddenly, we close on time. You have seen a need. You have seen a need. So we can have multiple services as we are about to do next year. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. See a need. Instead of having a critical spirit, have a need meeting spirit. We need workers. We need workers here. People must be taught. Our souls are being won. You see, beyond being in the department, we need workers also that help with the actual work. Those who come and sit here at night, Bishop, we've come Friday, train us to train the people. For he chose Mark chapter 3, verse 13, 14, 15. He chose 12 to be with him, that he would train them and then send them out to do the work. Volunteer to be part of the actual work of feeding, breastfeeding, and nurturing people. For I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Choose to join those whose breasts nourish the flock. There is a need for that. There's a level at which a pastor functions when he has that kind of help. You see that suddenly the depth of his messages become more because he has more time for study. When you are running from the Holy of Holies to the outer court, the Holy of Holies to the outer court, one day you just drop dead in the holy place because you went there sweating. The last need you need to meet is that there are material needs in the church. Please don't let us develop the typical African man syndrome, which was Brother Peter's syndrome. He saw Elijah
He saw Moses. He said, "Oh, Jesus, I think we can stay here." When the man has told you that the assignment is the cross and to save mankind because of small manifestation, let us build three tents. We put them, we'll sleep outside. Listen to me. By the grace of God, I designed this place. Where you are sitting is the office. Here is offices and washroom. And children said, "This is not the place. This is the church." Don't get comfortable. The bishop, can we put some AC? We won't put AC. We are only passing through. The only one. Wow, these chairs are nice. Not like the plastic chairs that was at a funeral. Wow, this. Please, this is not it. This is not it. And we need money. Somebody say money. Money. M-O-N-E-Y. Money. Everyone will say Ega. Shika. Sika. And you know who will give the money? You. You. There is something everybody can give. Luke chapter 8, the Bible says that there were some women that Jesus ministered to. The Bible said that they ministered to him. To minister, the Greek word to minister, there is, it means to serve. Out of their substance. People don't understand what substance they mean. We think substance means they were giving him coke. Coke is a substance. Fanta is a substance. Ekwegbe means a substance. No. Substance then means properties. It means assets. It means their riches. It means their wealth. They were taking care of Jesus from their material possessions. That is what it will take to build a decent meeting place that you will be proud of. That's what it takes. It is his body. It must look nice. And we've got to rise up and build it. We've got to build it. They did it because they could realize what Jesus had done for them and the change and transformation that he had brought into their lives. The New Testament church gives because there are needs to be met. Property was sold and all of it was laid at the feet of the apostles because there was need in the church. Bishop Tony can't use his money to do this. I know the kind of man he is. Over time, there'll be proper structures, proper administration, and all that are going to be set in place. It's nobody's personal property. It is for you and I. Let's build a place we'll be proud of. Some of us, we may not have money, but we have influence. A man called Joseph of Arimathea, he was part of the council of the Sanhedrin in Mark chapter 15, 43 to 46. He used his influence as a counselor and went to Pilate and said, "I need the body of Jesus." The word there is that he coveted, he required, he placed a demand on the body. Because the apostles were too weak, too insignificant. They were even being sought after to be killed. Going out was a risk for them. But somebody who believed in the Messiah went and spoke to Pilate and said, "I need that body." A tomb that nobody had been laid in before. Hewn out of a rock. Something only rich people could afford in that day. In a private garden. The garden where he was. It was a private garden. That's where he put the one that his soul loved. He didn't give money, but he gave his influence. So as you may not have money, but you have influence. You have some gang of workers under you. You are some missing foreman. You have some construction company. You can say, "Listen, Bishop, I don't have money to give, but I can release two steel benders. We will bend all these iron rods for free." Influence. "Bishop, I don't know how much money you have, but I have people who trust me. I can go and vouch for 300 bags of cement. And I will guarantee a good payment plan that will not stress the church." Where are the Joseph of Arimathea? Where are the Mary Magdalene's? Where are the wives of Susanna, who will pour off their substance? The church has a need, Bishop. And it is very difficult for any pastor to do what we are trying to do here because the charlatans have given us such a bad name. Such a bad name. That as the church building is going on, he seems to be looking richer. But listen, I told you something. When I'm preaching here, I won't preach in many places. Because I don't know the integrity of any pastor, but I know this man. I know Bishop Johnny. I know Bishop Johnny. There are things you can accuse people of. One of the things you can't accuse Bishop Johnny is theft. Taking what does not belong to him. The man has a conscience that lives. It's a conscience. You know how you know a man who has a conscience? When he can admit his wrong to a subordinate who can do nothing for him and still say sorry. Many people never say sorry to somebody who can't help them. You know, there are people when I talk about, I come emotional, so I don't want to stay on it for long. But Bishop Johnny is a good man. And I don't say it lightly. Many pastors, when they are going to look for an important person, they will not take you. Because they know you can go and press the bell later and ask for help. And their favor will be curtailed. He took me to places where I heard things and saw things that my mouth can't speak. He shared his honor with me. You're not looking at a selfish and a greedy man. Please! There is a need. There is a need. Don't let us leave this sand here blowing dust on us when we are having service. There is a need. We must put some BRC mesh here. We must do some ground beams. We must pour concrete and slap this thing. We must raise these columns and build the gallery and roof it with real trusses and not have improvised light. All these lights will be built into the ceiling with the sun. You will see anything hanging. You will see architecture merging with anointing to create impact for all time. Church, today when I finish preaching, I'm going to ask you to give to the Lord. Not just your offering, give to the Lord. Some of you are giving, you need 3 months to retire. So don't give on your bank balance. Don't give on what you have today. Give because God has need. Amen. It's a different type of giving. My son is going to school this Friday. When I saw his fees, I didn't have it. But I need him to be there in that school. So I said, I will give myself time from the day I've received the fees to the day he reopens. And step by step, I have paid with no minus because there is a conviction that is driving me. That's what I'm not saying come and give 200. 200, you can give it in the service. I'm talking about what you need time to arrange and bring it to God's house. Say, this is from my debt. This is my treasure. It's a given when you give, no matter how offended you are in the church, you will never leave. You will never leave. You will never leave. When your $20,000 is here, then my coffin will be brought in here. That's the kind of giving I'm talking about. That's the kind of giving. Years ago, Bishop, I was left with my only 200 CDs in the world. 200. The church was being roofed. The pastor said, who can give? There's some rich man sitting by me. He nudged me and said, look at your nice suit. Come on, you can do better. And this suit was a gift from my cousin in the UK. Solid designer. Somehow I just felt a burning. I went to give. When I came back, my wife, who was then my fiance, she asked me a question. She said, so which money are you going to use for that? I said, what you know and what I know is what I'm going to use. I gave the money and we came. See, our budget was 4,000 at that time, 40 million, and we had 2 million. Like, we are a little away from zero. Now we have sent us to zero. And I told her, I said, believe in me, and let me believe in God for us. Because it wasn't Sarah who was spoken to. It was Abraham. The day Sarah had, the following year, she gave birth. All the time, she was receiving reported speech from Abraham. The day she had directly, and laughed the following year she came. So I knew her revelation would come. But let's go. My wedding was so paid for that when I finished, I had 12 million change in cash minus pounds and euros. Then I understood how 5 loaves and 2 fish can still leave you with 12 baskets full. They are not fables. They are not fables. Commit to God in this place. Commit to God. Commit to God. Let us stop arguing about 10%. See, when I see this tight argument, I never get involved. But if you have run a church before and you see how much money is required to run the church and how very little people give, see that, Charlie, the 10% should actually be taught as a starting point. This year, I made a covenant with God. That the first night, I said, Lord, this year, as I enter, is 20%. It has been 20. I'm trusting God to be able to get to 50. And I will finish off at 80. Because there comes a point in your life, you have no bills. Only what you are eating and painting your house, that's all. And buying some small medicine to stay alive. What do you need the plenty money for? Because somebody who doesn't have a savings culture is coming to spread his leg left and right in your jacuzzi and just be gassing out and be enjoying your money. Give it to a legacy that would outlive you. So that your gift will speak, because Cornelius' arms is spoken in heaven and heaven responded. God will look at your arms and say, this your grandson will never be a weed smoker. Even though it's on the way to drug addiction, because of what you did, that gathered people into the kingdom. I will send a rescue plan. You got to do it. There's a need. There's a need. Mary, I don't know what you are looking for, but I finish. I told you the preaching is short. Finish by the grace of God. I'm done. There's no more to say. Who will win souls for Jesus? He's calling you. I play golf every now and then. Not once has a caddy taken my bag. And I ask you, Charlie, as I've come here and I'm playing the golf, I will finish and I will go. Your life too will finish on this earth and you will go. But where will you go? Heaven or hell? You drop something for them to think about. You drop something for a conviction. So I do come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. As you go, I want us to stand to our feet this morning. We are done. You've got to go. You've got to go. You've got to go. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called me. I will go. Oh, lead me, Lord. Sing it to him. Let it not just be another song. Mean it from your heart.
Just talk to God this morning, wherever you are. Tell him. Tell him, tell him, tell him. Tell him wherever you are. Tell him, tell him, tell him. Tell him. Tell him. Tell him wherever you are. Tell him. The Lord, I want to go to my office for you. I want to go to my classroom for you. I want to go, I want to go, I want to go to the market for you. Wherever you find yourself, you can go, you can go. You can go, you can influence somebody. You can influence your cousins. You can influence your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, your employees. You have a field of influence. You can, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, Lord. Use us, 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 Lord. I cannot talk about salvation without giving you a chance to accept Jesus. Maybe somebody invited you this morning to church, or you came by yourself, or you heard a sound and you said, I like the music. Let me go and sit down. Let me tell you something. It's appointed unto every human being to die one day. One day we will all die. I talking to you 50 years from now. It will be a miracle for me to still be here. Another 100 years and perhaps will be part of history. Long gone, never to be remembered again. That day of reckoning will come. Dying from this earth is not the end of the journey. Dying from this earth is the commencement of a new journey. When a baby steps out of the mother's womb, when you check the womb is empty. To the womb, the child is dead, but to the well, the child is alive, and it will be named and given a future. You step out of your body, and we will look and say, he is dead, but in the other world, the world of the dead, you start a new journey, either to those who are condemned to hell for all eternity, or them who shall make it to be with God forever. You can make a choice today that you have breath and you have life. And that choice is that, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus died in my place. I embrace his provision. Help me. Help me. I want to be yours. Help me. If you are here this morning, you want me to pray with you, for you to surrender your heart to Jesus. Can you lift up your right hand high so I can see you wherever you are in the building very quickly? Our time is fast spent. Very quickly. You want Jesus in your heart. You want Jesus in your heart. Please forget about anybody standing by you. We all came alone. I was shocked the day I found out a twin had died and the other twin was alive. I thought they came together, they would live together. Every destiny is different. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You want to surrender your heart to Jesus. Forget about who you came with. Think about your eternity and your salvation. Lift your right hand high up so I can see you. Father, we thank you. Your salvation and your free gift that is given to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, saving us.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.